الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah in His great mercy and kindness has brought us into the month of Zulhijjah in Saudia. Tomorrow is the 8th. All will be going to Mina. So the whole exercise of Hajj now is in motion. All the people at night also are excited. All are making their preparations. Tomorrow they are going to Mina. We will spend Mina tomorrow night. And then the next day, which will be Friday, they'll go to Arafat. And then after that will be Muzdalifah at night. And then back to Mina, pelting the Shayateen, Qurbani, back to Makkah Sharif, making Tawaf, etc. So our hearts also should be there. We are here, and we all should think also that, are we thinking of all the excitement, the hustle, the bustle, all which is happening in Makkah Sharif? And Allah Ta'ala loves people to come and visit His house. And Allah made the arrangement that what, how many, 4, 5, 6 million people are all there. And how, what excitement there is there. So ours also should be there. So our hearts were in this, should be in this month of Zulhijjah, should be in Makkah Sharif now, in Medina Sharif, and in all these auspicious and great amal. In this ayat kareema, Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, Inna alladhina amanu, those who have brought iman. And normally we are all content that we have got iman. But we have to, Allah calls a lot in the Quran Sharif that afala tatafakkarun, don't you to ponder, afala tadhakkarun, don't you think? So we are invited a lot to think about the reality of matters. Like that, each one of us is content, I've got iman. But if we think a little bit, Bismillah ar-Rahman. When the Bedouins were simple people, they haven't got no hypocrisy in them. They haven't got all chaplosy, showing a different face and having something else in the heart, or all those things. When they say, Qalatil Arabu Amanna, we brought iman. With sincerity, they said that we have brought iman. But immediately Allah says, Qul lam tu'minu. Don't say you have brought iman. Iman is a very great thing. Walakin qulu aslamna. Yes, say we have entered into Islam. And when will you be able to claim that you have got iman? Walamma yadkhul al-imanu fi qulubikum. When iman will have entered in your hearts. So we have to see also, is iman in our hearts or not? Or whether it is just on our tongue, we say we have brought iman. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi, amantu billahi, amantu billah. We have said that, but is it in our hearts or not? That we have to see. For example, the Quran Sharif says, and the Quran Sharif's words are absolute. My own words, anyone's words, the whole world's words together are nothing in front of the words of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, Ra'aita mani takhadha ilahahu hawahu. Have you not seen that person who has taken his God, his ilah, his Allah, as his hawa, his desires? The desires that we have got, how much are we giving preference to them over the commandments of Allah Ta'ala? It's not Allah's desire, it is the command of Allah. And it is not our command, it is our desire. We see a woman on a street, and it is our desire to look. It's not our command that we must look. And it is not Allah's desire that you must not look. It is Allah's command you must not look. But what we give preference to. generally by and large what we give preference to. We give preference to our desires over the commands of Allah. And yet we say, I brought iman on Allah. My iman is on my nafs, on my desires, my hawa. And what is hawa? Hawa is an empty thing. It's got no reality in it. It is just an imaginary enjoyment or an imaginary fear. The only real enjoyment is with Allah Ta'ala. The only real fear is with Allah Ta'ala. All other fears, the people fear the river of Nile, that it won't irrigate their land. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote a letter to the river, and that fear was dispelled. Till today, that fear is gone. It was just a spook. It was just a fear that they had. Reality is with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So each one of us, it must not happen that when we go in the qabr, we get a great shock that I thought I had iman, but actually I had no iman whatsoever. And then it's a place of non-return, a place of no repairs. You can't repair anything there then. So let us become conscious of that how much, and we say that we are La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah is not only three words, but it entails a great detail that the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my lifestyle. When I read Muhammadur Rasulullah, I believe truly, but what is my lifestyle? And from my morning till my night, my public life, my private life, my childhood, how I bring up my children, all Western ways. Everything against the ways of sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can I claim that I follow sunnah? Everything of mine is against sunnah. The holidays that we go for, how we build our houses, our gardens, our bathrooms, our bedrooms, our furnishing of our houses, what is according to sunnah? And yet we claim that we follow sunnah. So how true are we? And in the qabr where we'll be asked, Ma deenuka, ma taqulu fi haqqi hadha rasul, how will we be able to answer? So anyway, those who have got this reality of iman and amal-i-saliha are those which are done only for Allah. That is, and what is done for Allah is done how Allah wants it to be done. If we are making our namazes for Allah, then we'll make our namazes how Allah wants us to make them, not as we feel like making them. Today we come for namaz. Who of us thinks, whichever namaz, it can be faraz, nafal, sunnah, any jamaat namaz, that I must make it? Am I lifting my hands as Allah wants me to lift them, as the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And am I folding them according to that? Is my ruku like that? Is my sajda like that? Or is it just that, wow, I do it. What is my nature, what is my habit? And I just do it like that. Anyone gives a little thought that what is the sunnah way of lifting the hands? Who of us know how many sunnahs there are in namaz? How many of us know? How many of us know the sunnahs? So if we don't know, how are we going to make amal? Only when we have the knowledge, then we can make amal. But we don't even have that knowledge. How many things break namaz? The major things we know. But there may be so many other things that break our namaz. On one occasion, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam saw a sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, holding his beard in namaz. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this man hasn't got Allah in his heart. So though he's in namaz, he's in Masjid Nabawi, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, this man hasn't got Allah in his heart. So how many of our namazes, what kind of namazes are we making? So anyway, those who have that reality of iman and amali saliha, for such people, Allah says, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّ. Allah Ta'ala, He Himself, will create, will make love for that person. And the explanation of that the Mufassirin give, that Allah then loves that person who has got that iman and that amal saliha. And then Allah announces, and it's clear that Allah Ta'ala loves such a person, tells Jibreel alayhi salam, I love so and so, you also love him. Then Jibreel alayhi salam is also clear, he loves such a person who has got such iman, such amal. And then he announces to the rest of the malaika, Allah loves so and so, I love him, all of you also love him. And then his love is extended throughout the length and breadth of the earth. And all people, Muslims, non-Muslims, animals, all start loving such people. And they have great love, respect, honor for such people. And that is what we see with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Where they went, the battles that took place comparative to the number of journeys they took to spread Islam, the battles are very few, very few. They spread Islam because the people started loving them. The people started loving them more than their own parents, more than their own husbands, and more than their own wives. When they loved their ways more than their own ways. Imagine the language of Egypt wasn't Arabic. The language of Syria was not Arabic. The language of Jordan was not Arabic. Their religion was not Islam. They were all different people. But to change your language, how much must you love a person that you are prepared to change your language? How much must you love a person that you are prepared to change your way of life? How much you love and respect a person that you are prepared to sacrifice your husband, your children, your parents for them? And all this is the greatest thing. How much must you be having love for somebody that you are prepared to change your religion also? Otherwise, your religion, a person doesn't, even a Hindu won't want to change his religion. A Christian doesn't want to. People who worship their ancestors, black people normally, they can't do, change their religion for another person's religion. So how much love they had. So this is that love which Allah Ta'ala creates. If we bring that iman and amal in our lives today, then this enmity and hatred the people of the world have got, governments have got for Islam and for Islamic law, it will change into love if we make effort. And it isn't dependent on them. We blame them and we curse them and make bad dua for them. But we are the cause. We have to come right. So anyway, those people who have this, and Allah creates this love for those people, then Allah, and everyone starts loving those people, then Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala, the further explanation in that ayat is that a person then comes closer to Allah. The greatest thing by which a person comes closer to Allah, enters into the arena of Allah, comes into the boundaries of Allah Ta'ala, is through the farais, the faraz namazes. Without your faraz, you can read as much nafal as you want to. You can read as much durood sharif and Quran sharif, but if you are not making your farais, and that is in namaz also, not only namazes, your rozas which are faraz, all the ibadahs, all our money matters which are for us to deal and do correctly, all our muamalat, muasharat, how to live with our families, with our wives, with our parents, with our children, with our cousins, with our neighbors, all muashara, social life, and all adab, akhlaq, character. When in character we don't even think about. And they are farais in character also. They are wajibat in character also. Mustahabbat in character also. All that also. And then our adab, our method, our adab of doing things. We don't even think. Dunya thinks everything. A person is going for fishing, he doesn't think of the last detail that he must go with. He goes for anything else. He thinks of everything. He's going for a picnic. And he thinks of every detail that he must take with. But for our deen, we don't know thought whatsoever. We are living 100% a non-deeny life, just fettered with the little outward aspects of deen, and that is those of us who feel we got deen in our lives. Other people are far away, no deen whatsoever, and they also admit that we haven't got deen in our lives. But we who claim that we have got deen, we are still very far from what deen is. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Anyway, it is only through the faraiz that a person comes into the precincts and the surroundings of Allah Ta'ala. And then faraiz are limited. We can't do anything more than what Allah has commanded us to do. Those are, for example, in namaz, we can't make fajr more than 2 rakats faraz namaz. Zuhar, we can't make more than 4. They are all limited. Wajib is limited. The 3 witr wajib namaz, we can't make it 4. 2 Eid namazes wajib, we can't make more. Whatever is wajib, we can't make more. Sunnat-e-Muakkada, we can't make more. Nafal, we can make more. And that is the only means. And it comes, a person comes in closer and closer to Allah by nawafil. The more he makes his nawafil, the more he becomes closer to Allah. And so close he becomes to Allah Ta'ala that he becomes the eyes by which Allah looks, the tongue by which Allah speaks, the ears by which Allah hears, the all the body parts. And the explanation of that is that now he only looks at what is, where Allah wants him to look, when Allah wants him to look. He doesn't look at any and every woman. He only looks at his wife. But lust only at his wife, not his sister, not his daughter, not his mother, not his auntie. But lust, he will only look at his wife. And with all the other matters, now his tongue, there won't be ghibat on his tongue. There won't be layani, fuzul, and wasteful talk. Talk that has got no benefit, that won't be on his tongue. Slander, false accusation, hearing will be also according to the commands of Allah. No more he listen to ghibat. Nobody he listen. No more he will listen to music. All those things. So that is what will happen. And all that comes by nawafil, which by large and all and sundry, all of us here who are like in deen, nafil is not in our lives. We feel it's, if you do it, you get sawab. If you don't do it, you don't get guna. So a person can never progress and come closer to Allah without the nawafil. And we pay no attention to nawafil. And during this period here, this is from birth to death, our public life, our private life, our business life, our family life, all the other nawafil that we can advance and increase. And people, how many people, they are forgiven by Allah on small, small things. Which are those small things? Not the faraiz, not the wajibat. It is all these small nafil things that Allah completely forgives them. And many people are taken to task, and they are not they did all their faraiz, they did all their wajibat and sunnat-e-muakkada, but some of the small nafil things which they omitted and neglected, for that they are taken to task. So these are not small things, and they are so valuable. We can imagine now with the present period that we are in. For example, we know the word jannat. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, rahimahullah, what a great, great mufakkir of Islam, what a great da'i of Islam. He says jannat is not a 5-letter word. For us, jannat, for example, you say, you build a beautiful mansion of yours, double, triple story, 8, 10 bedroom, and all other facilities, what and what you did. So you, when you say, my mansion, my house, what have you got in your mind? Not just a 5-letter word, a house. What have you got in mind? My bedroom, and what haven't you got in your bedroom? My bathroom, and what things haven't you got in your bathroom? When you say my bathroom, you don't just mean a room where there is a bath in there. You know what you are talking about. So when you talk of Jannah, It is that. And if you talk of Jahannam, it's not a five-letter word. If a person, may Allah save us all, who went through to torture camps, and they were tortured there and severely tortured, where the nails are pulled out, where they are crushed with pliers, heavy, heavy pliers, and your body is crushed like that. Your hair is pulled out of your body, and all other terrible tortures. You are sodomized, and sodomized with iron, pieces of iron, with pieces of hard stick. And what pain you can't imagine. So for that person to say torture camp, for us it's the torture camp. But ask that person who went through it. So Jahannam for us is just the word Jahannam. But think of it, if may Allah save us, if a person has to enter Jahannam, me, my parents, my brothers, sisters, my children, my family, any person, can we ever tolerate it? Can we ever think what is happening in Palestine, how they are torturing the people, how they are killing the little children, children under the rubble, alive, wanting to come out, but no way for them to come out. For us, it is just we hear, we read, we imagine, we think, but we don't know what it is like. Those people who are losing 8, 10 children like this, what is their condition? So we haven't got the reality of things. So Jannah, Jahannam. Another word is Tawab. Tawab for us is a 4-6 letter word. That is all what it is. Guna is just a word of 4-5 letters. Guna we made. But what is Tawab? Like a person, for example, rands and cents, a businessman. He knows what are rands and cents. Today he gets money. From his till, he goes and deposits in his account. Or EFT, it goes directly into his account. So it's not just numbers and figures there. He knows that now with this, very soon I'm going to upgrade my motor car. It's not just the numbers on his bank balance, on his bank statement. I'm going to build another house. I'm going for a holiday. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing that. Lot of things. So sawab is not only sawab. It will transform and it will become great, great things. And all the things of this dunya, our bank balance, our houses, our businesses, our investments, our properties, whatever we have got is very temporary and very inferior. And everything of Jannat is permanent. It's not for, not only for a billion, 10 billion, quadrillion, something big forever and ever. And the quality of it, the whole world's enjoyment together cannot equal the least enjoyment of Jannah. The whole world's tortures, and what terrible tortures take place. How many husbands torture their wives? How many wives torture their husbands emotionally, physically, financially, in different ways? All that together cannot compare with the torture in the qabr, cannot compare with the torture on the day of Qiyamah and in Jahannam. So all these things here, they translate into something else. In the Hadith Sharif where it comes, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went for Mi'raj and he met Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salam made salam and conveyed salams to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that is to me and you. Today we don't think of it ever also. It is mentioned somewhere in a bayan, or we read it in a kitab, that time it comes to our mind. Whereas on a daily basis, we should be thinking of it. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sends salams to us. So we should think that what great value Allah has given this ummah. And me, I know what I am, what my filth and my dirt is. But a Nabi like Khalilullah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَإِذِبْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَتَمَّهُنْ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Imam of linnas, for people, the people of the world. He sent salams to me. anyone who is the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Yusuf and Ahmad, Muhammad and Fatima, Aisha and Khadija, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is salam? The first part of salam, peace. To have peace is the greatest thing. You can have all the money of the world. And one time, one person pointed out somebody to me in a crowd and told that person is super wealthy, very, very wealthy, but not one moment, day or night, has he got peace. His body is itching everywhere all the time. Whole day he's scratching, whole night he's scratching. But all that money, no treatment coming to any avail. So what is that money? And there are so many people who are living drug addicts. Though they, in their mind, they think they are on a high. But what condition they are living in? Alcoholics, so many other people. What's their condition? So to have peace, and if you got no money, but you got peace, you have got everything. So salam, the first part of salam is peace. And then the second part is the rahmat of Allah. Rahmatullah. Not assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. And then Allah's rahmat be upon you. But who of us makes salam? Who of us appreciates salam? Who of us take it as a great, great, great dua? And we are commanded, afshaw salam. Spread it, make it wide so everyone can benefit. And on top of that, wa barakatuhu, the barakat of Allah Ta'ala. And as one Bangladeshi alim explained to us, that what is the salam? First, it is the peace. And what a great thing peace is. And then secondly, the ma'iyat of Allah, that Allah be with you. If you got Allah with you, you've got everything whatever you can think about. And then it is a guarantee of securing peace in the ummah, in the community, in the family, the community, the whole town, the whole country. Peace comes in the world. Such a great dua Ibrahim alayhi salam gave us. And the ulama have written, when this, we hear this hadith, we read about it, then we should reply and say, wa alayhim wa alaykum as-salam. That the salam was brought to us by great, great muhaddithin. They brought it in, they wrote it in their kitabs. And it was brought from Ibrahim alayhi salam by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So salams on all of them. And salams on Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. So just imagine what a great thing. Then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam told Nabi alayhi salam, inform your ummah that Jannat, wa al Jannat qi'an, it is a barren land. There is nothing in Jannat. It is just an open place. With your farais, you will enter Jannat. And then all the enjoyments of Jannat are with the nawafil. With your farais, your wajibat, sunnat e muakkada, you will enter into Jannat. The basics of Jannat you will get. But all the great enjoyments of Jannat is with nawafil. And what we say, nawafil, if you do it, you get thawab. If you don't do it, you don't get guna. So you're going to into an empty Jannat. You're going into a Jannat that will be barren. وَإِنَّهَا inform the ummah that the Jannat is, that it is a barren place. Qiyan. That it is Qiyan, a barren place. وَأَنَّ غِرَاسُهَا. And what are the things that are going to beautify Jannat? All the plants, the flowers, the food, the fruit, the furniture, the enjoyment, the wonderful beds, the wonderful couches, the wonderful carpets, all that. وَأَنَّ غِرَاسُهَا. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. All our nawafil, nafal namazas, tilawat of Quran Sharif, durood Sharif, zikrullah, kindness towards people, kindness towards animals, all these things are the things that are going to beautify Jannat. Now it is up to us. We've got a period of every 60, 70 years in order to make that Jannat and beautify forever and ever. This is the opportunity. So during these first 8 days of Zulhijjah, of which today is already the seventh is finished, the sixth is finished, For us, tomorrow will be the 7th, when the 2 days left, 7 and 8, that we can read the third kalima. And as much as we read the third kalima, we will be beautifying our jinn. So it's not just a matter of getting sawabs, so many sawabs that we are getting. The ibadat of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, which is referred to in the Quran Sharif, Al-Fajr, Walayalin Ashr, the greatest, the most Allah loves his ibadat in the whole year is during these 10 days. And that ibadat is so simple. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And Allah loves that tremendously. And our jannat is being beautified. It's not just the words that we are reading and going there. It is not just the sawab. It's not only the figures on your bank statement. It is all going to transfer into all those enjoyments there. And they will be khayrun wa abqa, much, much more better than all the enjoyments of dunya. And forever and ever it will be there. So this is what the ibadat we must enjoy. The nights of these nights, each night is better than khayrun min al-fishar. Each night is better than Laylatul Qadr. Equal to Laylatul Qadr. And Laylatul Qadr is not la ta'dilu alfu shahr. It's not equal to 1,000 months. Khayrun min alfi shahr. And a month has got 30 nights in it, 30 days, 30 nights. So one night ibadat is 30,000 nights. So we make our Isha wa Jamaat, our Fajr wa Jamaat, especially during these days. We're getting the sawab of making 30,000 nights, ibadat the whole night. And whatever more we can do, read your Alif Lam Mim Sajda, read your Surah Tabarak Alladhi, and another 30,000 nights, 30,000 was already by your Isha and your Fajr, another 30,000 by reading the surahs between Maghrib and Isha. And if a person reads Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, the ruku, two pages, 2 minutes, he gets the sawab also of 30,000 nights, or the whole night sawab, which is in this period, the night of Laylatul Qadr. So 30,000, so 90,000 nights sawab a person can get in a matter of 10, 15 minutes. But we are not paying attention. And when we go there, there's no return from there. We cannot come back and then do it. This is the time to do it. And it's not a matter of being a very pious person. If a person becoming very rich, working hard, and doing a lot of business, we don't say he's a very pious person. We say he's a wise person. He's a person who's making money. He's going to live it up. A person who makes ibadat is a wise person. He's going to live it up for in Jannah. That wise person of dunya will only live it up in dunya. Possibly. But possibly he becomes blind. Possibly he becomes paralyzed. He meets up with an accident. But here in Jannah, no blindness, no deafness, no accident. You will definitely enjoy forever and ever. So this is the opportunity. So it's not a matter of doing it for show for the people. It is a matter of concern for your own welfare in Jannah forever and ever to go there and enjoy. So this is the time to little effort, and Allah is Arhamur Rahimin, the most merciful. He prescribed to us very heavy things and just to test us. And you try to do it, he gets satisfied on very small things. Qurbani, he wanted the sacrifice of Ismail al-Islam, a young boy, 9, 12 years old, from his father who was about 90 at the time. But what he accepted, he sent himself a ram from Jannah, and he said, slaughter this ram, and I will take it as the sacrifice of your son. So Allah says, remember me, make my zikr day and night. Then Allah Ta'ala says, if you remember me for a little while between us after Asr and after Fajr, then it is like you remembered me the whole day. And that little while is as long as it takes 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and 10 times La ilaha illallah, or the other formulas, so little, 1 minute, and Allah says, I will give you the sawab of the whole day's zikr. So easy it has been made. But why are we so indifferent? And dunya, everyone knows, whatever he acquires of dunya, a poor person, a rich person, everything of dunya is going to be left behind. Nothing is going in front. Not your one pair of socks, even if they got 10 potatoes in them. That socks also won't go with you in your cupboard. Everything will be left behind. But your akhirah, what you did for akhirah, everything will be there. We do it with the right conditions. So Allah give us. Then on the 9th, to read the kalima, la ilaha illallah. Allah loves that tremendously on that day, the day of Arafah. And then the 3 days that follows, there is no action Allah loves more than qurbani on those days. On those days, if we can make our qurbani ourselves, otherwise if we are not in a position to make, be present where qurbani is being made. Help out there. To sort out and deliver, give out the meat and take part in it, even give non-Muslims, eat yourself also. Everyone in the world must become part of Qurbani. So a wonderful period. That's from the 1st of Dhul-Hijjah till the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. These are two times that not a single moment must be wasted of a person. That we can acquire and we'll be acquiring forever and ever in the after, year after. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdihi. Nashkadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.